Good morning. This is Tommy Ray, and we're in episode 80 of Water Rights, Laws, Guns, and Money. Today is July 30, 2023, and we are again going to say a few choice words about Arizona. When you choose to leave a carcass out in the sun, it spoils and begins to stink. It is rotten. And so it appears that choices made somewhere along the way in Arizona have surfaced in the bright Arizona sunshine, and the carcasses of those choices are stinking like hell. And I hope the citizens of Arizona investigate those choices. Of course, what we're talking about is bribery and corruption, pure and simple. In my career, I have always been amazed at how our public employees respect their positions and try always to follow the law. When asked why such laws were created, they simply say the legislature made the laws and regulatory agencies published guidelines or rules to be followed. They are simply applying the rules equally to all. I have never seen any corruption at the level I work. That level is working with staff people to obtain permits and guidance on how best to accomplish the goals of my projects within the confines of the law. I have never witnessed kickbacks or special considerations given to me or others. Even in my dealings with other businesses, sure, it may seem that some charges are out of line, but I am always free to get other bids and evaluate which proposal best fits my needs. It is not always the low bid, because I must be assured that whatever bid I select will be the one I need. It could be because of schedules, quality of work, or price. But it has always been on the up and up. Nothing was ever hidden or any improprieties hinted. Public employees must answer to a, quote, boss somewhere up the line. The boss wants to avoid bad publicity, so it behooves him to keep his public employees on the up and up. But what about the boss? He is elected and answers only to his electorate, which may happen every 2 or 4 years. It would be easy for the boss, the elected official, to make backroom deals. Most politicians I have met seem to be on the up and up, but clearly there are some that are tempted by favors they might receive. Those favors could be expensive trips or vacations, or someone buying a piece of property they own at a bloated price. And of course, there is always the favor of good old money. I can see how it would be easy for an elected official to benefit from his position. And it would be hard to track. After all, no one is looking over his shoulder. Of course, he has to be smart about it. Thank goodness for the free press. They are the ones that look into such shenanigans. Again, I believe most elected officials are above board, but some may not be. Let's look again at water in Arizona, and you tell me if something stinks down there. I think we all know by now that a Saudi firm has tapped a high production aquifer in drought-stricken Arizona and are using it to pump water from state land to grow alfalfa for the kingdom's cattle. And this has been going on for almost a decade. The press has gotten hold of this, quote, deal made with state-owned ground and are shaking it like a terrier dog shakes a rat. The, quote, deal seems to be rotting in the hot Arizona sun. The Washington Post reported on it again about 2 weeks ago. Water pumped from deep underground helps alfalfa grow at the Saudi-owned Fondamont Farm in the Butler Valley in western Arizona. Green fields of alfalfa stretch across thousands of acres of the desert land, shimmering in the burning sunlight. Wells draw water from deep underground, turning the parched earth into verdant farmland. Meanwhile, rivers and reservoirs are stressed so much that water only trickles in the homes of farm workers near Butler, a rural town west of Phoenix. And some of these towns depend on the same aquifers that Fondamont is pumping hard. The towns are continually having to deepen their wells to have water to deliver to their citizens. Folks, there's a bottom to that aquifer, and when that water is gone, it's gone. So what's the, quote, deal that was given to Fondamont? First, let's discuss who Fondamont is. Riyadh-based Almari is a food and beverage giant that was originally farmed by a Saudi royal and two Irish brothers. Now, that's an unlikely pairing. In 2011, it acquired Luxembourg-based Fondamont, which was operating farms in Argentina at the time, capitalizing on rising global food demand. These guys are in it for the long haul. In 2012, the company incorporated Fondamont, Arizona, and soon moved into La Paz County, one of the poorest and least populated parts of Arizona. In 2014, it paid $47.5 million to purchase nearly 10,000 acres near Vicksburg, Arizona, a town of about 500. So that's about 4,750 an acre. I don't know too much about ag land prices, but that sounds reasonable to me. But then, in 2015, in the nearby Butler Valley, Fondamont took over several agricultural leases totaling 3,500 acres for the below market rate of $25 per acre. Now, I know that $25 per acre per year is cheap, and that includes all the water they can pump. Other articles have stated that alfalfa in the desert here and in the Imperial Valley in California consumes 6 or more acre feet of water per acre. And of course, Fondamont is growing alfalfa, which it exports to feed the kingdom's cows. A back of envelope calculation shows that Fondamont, on its 3,500 of leased farm ground, will be consuming 20,000 acre feet of non-renewable water per year. 20,000 acre feet per year, every year. Ag water lease prices on Colorado farms on the eastern side of the mountains are about $200 per acre foot. Above that, farming is not economic. And water leases for municipal and industrial use are 3 to 4 times that amount. And I would think that water prices in the deserts of Arizona would be even more expensive. But let's use $200 an acre foot. That comes to about $4 million a year they should be paying just for the water. Instead, they're paying about $88,000 per year to lease the 3,500 acres and paying nothing for the water. Man, that sounds like a sweetheart deal to me. Those leases of state land will expire in February 2024, if not renewed. And I'm going to go to Vegas and bet that they certainly ain't going to be getting those leases again for $25 an acre. For years, the state did not know how much water the company was consuming. And this has been going on for nearly a decade. The lack of information was a choice. Soon after Fondamont arrived in the Butler Valley in 2015, state planners, the public employees, suggested asking the company to install meters and report its water use according to a memo reviewed by the Washington Post. That way, the memo argued, the state could at least obtain accurate information on water drained from the valley, water that could otherwise serve as a backup for booming urban areas. But the proposal hit a stone wall, John Scheinemann, one of the planners, told the Post. It was spurned, he said, by officials in the administration of then-Governor Doug Ducey, a Republican. These officials were, quote, cautious of tangling with a powerful company. Or maybe these officials might have been benefiting from token favors. Maybe Fondamont was doing the old carrot and stick routine, the stick being, you don't want to tangle with us, and the carrot being minor favors. Someone needs to look into whether or not favors were offered and accepted. Again, thank goodness for the press. The proposal to monitor and report on water use also ran headlong into a view deeply held in the rural West that water is private property that comes with access to land rather than a public resource. Well, yes, that is true. Even in Colorado, groundwater comes with the land, but there are limitations on how much can be pumped. At least in Colorado, the state limits the pumping rate to 1% per year of what the surface owner owns. It has to be permitted. The inaction was an early sign of how state officials gave leeway to Fondamont as a global fight for water took root in the Arizona desert. Leaving water unprotected amid a drought worsened by climate change has been a boon to Saudi Arabia, where industrial-scale farming of forage crops such as alfalfa is banned in Saudi Arabia to conserve the Persian Gulf nation's limited water supply. Imagine that. Something smells fishy. For at least a decade, it sounds like elected officials have been letting this slide. So who's going to dig into the decision process made by elected officials? Looking into financial records of those elected officials might turn up, quote, favors received in exchange for looking the other way and not looking out for a desert state to protect its most valuable resource, water. Of course, they could also look at political contributions made by Fondamont. A post-investigation based on government documents and interviews with public officials, ranchers in the valley, farm workers, and townspeople who live near the alfalfa fields found that Arizona's lax regulatory environment and sophisticated lobbying by the Saudi-owned company allowed a scarce American resource to flow unchecked to a foreign corporation. To advance its interests before the state, Fondamont hired an influential Republican lawyer as well as a former member of Congress. And it sought to win over its rural neighbors, providing a high school with donations that included Fondamont-sponsored sports bags and face masks emblazoned with a company logo to protect students from COVID. Wow, sports bags and face masks. Those people are bought off cheap Somewhere up the line, bigger favors were probably being given out. Go, Washington Post, go. Let's see who is really behind this state disaster. There are only two areas in Arizona where groundwater is regulated, under Phoenix and under Tucson. For the rest of the states, it's use it up like there's no tomorrow. Fondamont's farm in the Butler Valley uses water otherwise designated for possible transport to the state's population centers. State officials now acknowledge that decades of farming and explosive growth have dangerously diminished Arizona's water reserves. The rising scarcity has deepened rifts between urban and rural communities and turned Fondamont into a political flashpoint. There are others doing the same thing as Fondamont, using state-owned land to irrigate crops. Fondamont holds four of the roughly 20 state agricultural leases across Arizona's three major transport basins, where state law allows transfer of water to cities. But Fondamont's foreign ownership and strict limits on water use in its home country have fueled outrage here. David Kelly, Fondamont's general manager, said the company follows the same rules that govern farming operations throughout the state while going out of its way to save water and serve the community. All we ask is to be measured according to the same standards as every other farming leaseholder on state land, he said in an email. Yes, but are others sucking up millions of gallons every day? While robbing Arizona of millions of gallons of water, Kelly has the gall to say Fondamont should be heralded for its water efficiency. Last month, the new governor, Democrat Katie Hobbs, unveiled a long-awaited study showing that groundwater in parts of the Phoenix area was insufficient to meet projected demand over the next century. Her administration also recently sought details about water use on state-owned land. Only after the state threatened to cancel Fondamont's leases last month did the company disclose how much it pumps annually in the Butler Valley. Its consumption is equivalent to that of a city of more than 50,000 people, experts say. Our back-of-the-envelope calculation was 20,000 acre-feet annually. Typically, every five people need about 1 acre-foot, so Fondamont is reporting about 10,000 acre-feet annually. Still a lot of water. The governor's aides are now preparing plans not to renew Fondamont's leases in the Butler Valley when they expire next year, according to a staff recommendation obtained by the Post. Good. Now they should dig into the files and determine why the lease was granted originally and what official stopped the investigation, or at least stopped the questioning, about how much water Fondamont planned to use. A decision has not been finalized. If Hobbs acts, a confrontation with the company could follow, with implications not just for foreign companies with interest in American natural resources, but also for the future of agriculture as drought intensifies in the Southwest and cities clamor for rural water reserves. From my perspective, it's long past time for that showdown. The Saudi-owned farm has split the local community, where Holly Irwin, a La Paz County supervisor who has opposed Fondamont's presence for years, said that, quote, foreign companies have come to take our water because they don't have any left back home. In a 2014 corporate report, Almari celebrated that Fondament's expansion in Arizona put the company on track to import 100% of its animal feed, part of a strategy for conservation of the kingdom's water resources. Doesn't that just warm your heart? But Fondament has unlikely allies, including a cattle rancher in the Butler Valley whose land abuts Fondament's farm. Boyce Anderson said he generally is an American first type person, but is now just as concerned about the valley's water being taken by Phoenix instead of flowing to livestock and crops. He faulted Arizona, not the foreign-owned farm, for the grim trade-offs facing the state. My guess is that water is not going to be taken by Phoenix. Landowners, or at least governmental entities, will have to be paid for that water. It ain't going to be just a water grab. And what of the water under Boyce Anderson's land? Boyce, in the future, when you want to use that water, guess what? There won't be any left. Any water taken out of wells under Fondament's property is quickly replaced by water from your property and the surrounding neighbors' properties. The aquifer is interconnected under all properties in the area and will go down and down until eventually there is none left, not only for Fondament, but also all the nearby neighbors. Ask Boyce 20 years from now what he thinks. Someone needs to enlighten him and his whatever's under my ground is mine attitude. That's true until it's not under your ground anymore. And then it will be, well, where's my water? Long gone will be the answer. Maybe if you don't hand out, quote, favors, but you've got lots of money, you hire expensive lawyers and lobbyists. They then use the carrots and sticks. To advance its interest in Arizona, Fondament hired Jordan Rose, a lawyer and land use specialist who leads one of the state's top lobbying shops. Rose, a former finance chair of the Arizona GOP, helped run Ducey's inaugural committee when he was elected governor in 2014. Ducey soon named her to a committee developing state groundwater policy, according to her website. Aha! So now we are mixing in politics, money, and power. Stir the pot and see if we can make lots of money. It stinks to high heaven. Rose later told an agribusiness trade association that Fondament, quote, chose to invest in La Paz County because of its favorable conditions for growing alfalfa. Those conditions include an average 310 sunny days per year and the ability to have a fresh cutting almost every month. Of course, she didn't report the access to thousands and thousands of acre feet of free water. The Saudi firm's arrival in Arizona showed how trade liberalization and improvements in transportation and logistics have allowed companies to control arable land all over the world and manage scarcity back home. Rising global food demand has put pressure on freshwater resources sucked from the ground in such large quantities that, according to a recent study, the Earth's tilt has shifted. I might add that the Earth's tilt also shifts because so much money is piled up on one side of it. Arizona groundwater is unregulated across rural swaths of the state. That includes the Butler Valley. Agriculture is possible in the valley, smack in the middle of the Sonoran Desert, thanks only to water drawn through wells like soda through straws. Because of minimal natural recharge and scarce rainfall, water pumped from the basin is essentially mined with no replacement. The area is significant as shortages deepen because it's one of the few basins from which water can be economically transported to growing urban areas. And the Butler Valley, where Fondamont is the lone company leasing state land for agriculture, is key to planning because most of the land there is government owned. A 2012 study had found that the basin held almost 22 million acre-feet of water, but estimates have varied widely, with the volume also pegged at about 6.5 million. That would still be enough to supply all single-family homes in the Phoenix area for about 14 years. Whatever the exact supply, it is being sucked away every day by water-intensive crops. Let's look into a little history under the previous Republican administration. Staff at the previous governor's office had prepared a memo about the amount of water being used unwisely. The memo was addressed to Ducey's land commissioner, Lisa Adkins, who did not follow its recommendations. Kelly, the Fondamont manager, said the company installed meters of its own accord but had not disclosed its consumption because its leases did not require such reporting. Adkins said she could not remember the memo and declined to comment. Ducey also declined to comment. I don't know about you, but I am holding my nose. It stinks horribly. 2 months later, as the Saudi-owned farm came under local criticism, Tom Buschatsky, the water resource director appointed by Ducey, published an op-ed telling readers of the Arizona Republic, "Don't freak out about Saudi alfalfa. Those folks have as much right as any other individual in the state of Arizona to grow their produce, grow their crops, sell them, export them," he told the Associated Press at the time. Emails show that Buschkowski received a note of praise from Rose, Fondamont's lobbyist. He thanked her, writing, "I know certain parties will continue to push at us on this." Buschkowski declined to comment to the Post. "Keep digging, Washington Post. You are turning up more stink." My conclusion is we should either cancel these leases or somehow get compensated for the staff time. Chuck Vinsel, a leasing specialist with the state's land department, wrote to colleagues way back in 2016. He added that monetary penalties were largely ineffective because of the company's wealth. County Assessor Anna Camacho and her small staff have struggled to keep up with Fondamont's upgrades, she said, because of infrequent access to the farms and the sophistication of the company's equipment. After a site visit in 2017, county appraisers decided that the cash value of the company's operations had jumped from $7.8 million to $32.9 million. But Camacho said her office is still woefully undervaluing the company's assets on its owned and leased land alike. Wells, in particular, are extremely undervalued, wrote one of her employees in 2019. The real value of the land lies in the water underneath the desert terrain. Since 2015, state officials periodically have returned to the idea of asking leaseholders to report their water consumption. Repeatedly, they face stiff opposition, not just from Fondament, but also from domestic farming and ranching interests, and from conservative state lawmakers who believe water is a commodity controlled by individual property owners, not a resource to be managed collectively. It's hard for me to understand what those Arizonans are thinking. Local engineer Jim Downing, who manages the distribution of electricity to farms in the area, said Fondament has been unfairly singled out and cannot be blamed for all nearby water shortages because different valleys have distinct aquifers. But pumping by Fondament and its predecessors in Vicksburg have affected adjacent wells, Downing said. They can impact other people's wells, and they have, he concluded. The company's foreign ownership adds to the outrage some locals feel. Andy Granger, a retired machinist stopping for groceries in Siloam, said his view of Fondament sounds racist, but can be summed up this way. Foreign people coming in and tapping into our resources and making a profit. Local anger is reaching a boiling point, warned Steve Hills, a former telephone repairman. As more and more people find their wells drying up, he said, we're going to have civil war out here. Things are coming to a head. During a campaign news conference last summer outside the state land department, Chris Mays, a Democrat, vowed to investigate Fondament's leases. We can't afford to do dumb things with our water anymore, Mays, who took office in January, said in an interview. And allowing a Saudi-owned corporation to stick a straw in the ground and pump millions of gallons of water to grow alfalfa for their cows in the Middle East is nothing short of outrageous. When Hobbs took office as governor in January, she signaled that she would take on Fondament. In her State of the State speech that month, she pointed to a Saudi Arabian conglomerate pumping groundwater nearly unchecked in La Paz County as evidence of a need to overhaul the state's approach to groundwater management. Fondament took notice. Kelly, the general manager, sent a letter to the governor the following month warning her against targeting Fondament. Hasty decisions based on misinformation could drive Fondament out of Arizona and could imperil operations of all the other farms operating with similar leases around the state, he wrote. Fondament would continue its operations in other states or other parts of the world, but hundreds of Arizona jobs and positive economic input would be wiped out, and the negative implications for Arizona's agricultural industry would be enormous. Is Fondament threatening the new governor? Well, maybe Arizona could use that water for other higher-paying jobs. Meanwhile, Mays, the new state attorney general, was putting pressure on other state agencies. During a February 17 meeting described by the people present, she sharply criticized the leadership of the state land department, asking, as one person recalled, what have you been doing for the past 8 years? In April, the land department wrote to leaseholders in the state's transport basin saying it was conducting an analysis at the governor's request and asking them at long last to provide detailed information about their water usage. At first, Fondamont refused, responding in May that its leases did not require the company to track or disclose water usage. But this time, Arizona's land department insisted. On June 21, the state replied that it had the authority to obtain such information and noted that other leaseholders had voluntarily complied. The state gave Fondamont 9 days to release the data, vowing to pursue any and all remedies, even possibly cancellation of your leases. Fondamont relented, telling the state that it had used 16,415 acre feet of water last year at its farm in the Butler Valley. But Kelly said the amount of water is as much as a quarter less than the quantity used by the company's predecessor in the valley. So, now we're getting real close to our back of envelope calculation of 20,000 acre feet. The back and forth could be a prelude to a bigger break as the governor's office draws up plans not to renew the company's Butler Valley leases, specifically citing the importance of the basin's groundwater as a backup for Arizona's population centers. The company would continue to own land in Vicksburg and hold a lease in that area that runs until 2031. The plans, which have not been finalized, would impose additional changes in transport basins, including the short-term extension of other leases combined with rent hikes, metering requirements, and charges for water management. The goal, documents show, is to address the political anger over Fondamont's leases while not alienated other segments of the agricultural community. Planning documents indicate that the governor's office doesn't know exactly how much water remains in the Butler Valley. But the documents say the results of a new study are imminent. Schinemann, the state planner who first raised his concern about Fondamont in 2015, said he feared that any move now may be too late, after the state failed for years to put the water to its best use. That use, he said, would have been to conserve for the future. As I have discussed in past episodes, Arizona is running a Ponzi scheme with its water, continuing to encourage all sorts of development instead of conserving. I will not invest in Arizona. I feel for those people that are there. Tough decisions and political brawls are in the cards. I'm glad it's far enough away not to impact my mountain stream. Time to relax. Come with me and let's listen to that pleasant sound. And by the way, we're going on a short vacation, so it may be 3 to 4 weeks before I, quote, see you next time.